My gratitude to His Holiness Sukadev Swami Maharaj and His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Swami Maharaj for their heartfelt and illuminating talks about the subject of pure devotional service. Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was discussing this principle of how the Lord, who is Atmarama, perfectly self-satisfied, the proprietor of everything that exists, feels hungry for the love of his devotee. That wonderful story from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, of Hiranya and Jagadish Pandit. The Lord was hungry for their rice. Not only hungry, crying incessantly, would not stop crying. Even the loud, constant chanting of the holy names by Sachi Mata, Jagannath Mishra, and his relatives, who were pure devotees, were chanting with intense ecstatic love. Even that chanting could not pacify him. He was hungry. He was crying to taste the sweet love of Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit. This theme is very much throughout our scriptures. Maharaj described Sudama Vipra, how the Lord was so hungry for some very cheap chipped rice. And Ramchandra at Pampa Sarovar in Kishkinda Kshetra, he met Shabari. She had nothing to offer but some wild berries that she would pick from some bushes. And we know the story, how one could not tell whether those berries were sweet or bitter. They looked identical. She didn't want to give a bitter berry to the Lord. So she would take a small bite out of each berry. Carefully analyze whether it was sweet or bitter. If it was sweet, she would take it out of her mouth and offer it to Lord Ram. If it was bitter, she would put it aside. And Lord Ram was eating them. He was hungry for them. Now, this was very much not according to the regulative principles of archana, of how to worship the Lord. But the Lord is attracted by pure love. He's hungry for pure love. And in in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Shuklambar Brahmachari, he used to beg door to door. He was just a brahmachari with no possessions. He had a little grass hut on the bank of the Ganges. He'd go to at least 10 or 12 houses every day. As he would be begging, he would be singing the glories of the Lord in ecstasy. The common people just thought he was an ordinary brahmachari beggar. But the Lord within his heart understood that he was the wealthiest man because he was constantly absorbed in loving devotion to the Supreme. So one day at the house of Srivas, when Sri Chaitanya was sitting on the throne of Vishnu, revealing his supreme opulences, everyone was dancing. And Shuklambar just had raggedy, simple clothes, and he had this little cloth bag that hung from his shoulder, where he had whatever he begged. How many of you have been beggars sometime in your life? Please raise your hand. Okay. Well, I'm not telling you you should beg for prema bhakti, definitely. But I used to be a beggar here in India. It's considered something very sacred when a sadhu begs. And people don't give you the best things in their kitchen. They usually give you nothing except chastisement. Why don't you get a job? Something like that. Or else they ignore you. Or if they're charitable, they'll give you the cheapest thing there is. And in Bengal in those days, it was broken up rice. Rice that's all at the bottom of the barrel, it's all broken up and it doesn't cook very well. They would give him broken rice. And that's all he had in his little bag. And he was dancing very blissfully. But because he was chanting the holy names with such love, the Lord was hungry. He called Shuklambar to come forward and thrust his hand in the bag of Shuklambar Brahmachari. Took it out and ate the rice. Wasn't even cooked. Shuklambar was saying, "Don't do this. It's not right. You shouldn't be eating this." Lord Chaitanya, handful after handful. And similarly with Raghunath Das Goswami. He was the son of Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar, who were like billionaires in today's world. They had huge estate, tremendous wealth. But he left everything to live in Puri as a Goswami, performing very, very difficult devotional actions in the sense that he was living so simple. And at a certain point, the only thing he would eat the Jagannath Prasad that would come off the altar of Lord Jagannath would be given to pilgrims. What they didn't give to the pilgrims, they would give to shopkeepers to sell. What wasn't sold in time, when the rice became rotten and nobody would buy it, they would throw it in a pile outside the temple where cows would come to eat it. That pile is still there today. And the cows would eat the rice, but that rice that was so rotten that the cows spit it out because they couldn't tolerate it. At night, Raghunath would collect those grains. And he would take the inner portion of it, put a little salt on it, and eat it. Does that sound like a nice feast? That's all he ate. And when Lord Chaitanya heard about this, he came to Raghunath Das Goswami's little bhajan kutir and said, "Raghunath Das, I heard that you're eating very nice food. Please give me some." And Raghunath Das Goswami said, no, I don't know where you're hearing this. It's not true." But the Lord came just when he was about to eat that rice rejected by cows. And Lord Chaitanya understood. He was hiding it behind himself. And the Lord thrust his hand to where the rice was and ate it. Raghunath said, no, don't, you can't eat this. And Swarup Damodar Goswami, like what Maharaj was saying about Rukmini, couldn't tolerate seeing Lord Chaitanya eating this. So he said, that's enough, Lord, that's enough. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have tasted so much Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath, but never have I tasted anything so satisfying and delicious as what Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day. It's not that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly likes the inner kernel of rejected rice. But he was tasting the renunciation of Raghunath Das Goswami. And that renunciation was built on the foundation of pure love. He wanted to engage his senses, his mind, his very life at every moment in giving pleasure to the Lord. And to maintain himself, he wanted this, the simplest, least possible, so he could give his full energy and attention to Krishna. That renunciation based on love is most satisfying to the heart of the Lord, hungry for that love. What pleases the Lord is the perfection of life. Maharaj was explaining about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, how he opened a temple at the place where Jagadish Pandit had has his Jagannath deity. I'd like to briefly explain a story of a temple that was opened by the followers of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this story very much illustrates what it really means to please the Lord or to please the great spiritual masters. He sent, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent some of his followers to a relatively far away, isolated place to begin a congregation and temple. Just a few of them went. They didn't know anyone. They didn't have anything. They started with nothing. But they were enthusiastic to please their guru and to reach people's hearts and give them this great gift of devotion. So after some time, people took interest. People started loving prasad. They were chanting in kirtan, japa. They were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And soon people became so enthusiastic and so dedicated, they built a beautiful temple. They ordered deities of Radha and Krishna. And when everything was made, they invited Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come to install those deities. They were preparing for months and months and months. All the construction was finished. They were decorating. They were organizing feasts, and they had to raise all the funds for everything. The day before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came, one simple brahmachari, he wasn't a leader. He wasn't one of the very prominent preachers. He was just a simple brahmachari, one of the several. He was seen acting improperly with a neighboring young lady And one of the leaders chastised him very strongly. And this brahmachari, this monk, his heart was so embarrassed and so broken that without telling anything to anyone, he left the mat, the temple. They were looking around. He wasn't there. Anyways, it wasn't so important. We have to get ready for our guru's arrival. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada arrived in a train, and there was a beautiful kirtan waiting for him at the railway station, and then they brought him to the site of the temple. There it was, brand new, shining temple, decorated with garlands and flowers. There were hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people from the congregation and the neighborhood who were all with their arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names. There was a delicious feast cooked for thousands and thousands of people. The deities were there. Everything. They did everything just to please their guru. And now is the culmination. Their Guru Maharaj was going to have the first sight of all the people that they transformed. The land that they transformed into a beautiful place of worship. And all the prasad and all the kirtan and everything. It was so active. It was such a festival. All to please him. He looked over to one of the leaders after scanning through the whole scene around him. And he said, "Where is that brahmachari?" They were mortified. I said, "Guru Maharaj, you mean that brahmachari?" He said, "Yes, that brahmachari. I don't see him." And they told what happened. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "He may have made a mistake, but you broke his heart. One devotee is more valuable to me than everything." He said, "I will not participate in this function until he comes back." He said, "All this feast, all this chanting, all these people, all this temple, if you cannot act properly with each other, none of this will satisfy me." So the whole festival was stopped. Where to find him? They had no idea. He just left. Didn't say anything. They were in a desperate state. Sometimes in a desperate state, your mind becomes quite clear. So they were all talking amongst themselves. "There's no installation. There's no festival. Everything's finished. We have to find him. Where are we going to find him?" "I don't know." They were asking everybody, did he tell you where he's going?" I said, "No, he didn't say anything to anyone." And one person said, "Actually, some months ago, one of us, our watch broke. And he knew how to fix it. So he left. He had nothing. He has to survive somewhere. He knows how to fix watches. Maybe he's in a watch repair shop somewhere. Well, let's go look." They were searching everywhere and everywhere. They went to every possible watch shop and watch repair shop in the whole town. They couldn't find him. And finally, the leaders were out looking. One of them asked in a watch repair shop, "Have you seen a person who looks like this?" They said, "That might be him in the back." They went to the back, and there was the devotee sitting there fixing watches. He was shocked to see his elder godbrother coming in. And he was told, "This is what our Gurudev has said. He doesn't care about all the things we've been doing for the last several years to build this place up. If we've mistreated you, this is his love for you. Please come back." That simple devotee started to cry. "Gurudev loves me so much." He came back. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati embraced him. And the festival began. Thousands of people were fed prasad. There was the installation of the beautiful deities. There was dramas and dioramas. And there was constant sankirtan of the holy name. That devotee who came back, he didn't take the love of his guru cheaply. He was so deeply affected by that affection, by that mercy, that he dedicated his life so deeply, instantly. A little later, he became a sannyasi. A little later, he became a guru. A little later, he started his own mutt. But even in his very old age, sannyasi, disciple, so many things, he would regularly tell that story. And every time he told that story, he would cry, remembering the love of his spiritual master. And through this incident, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted to teach all of us for all time to come what it means to love. To love means to understand what will please Krishna, what will please Guru, what will please the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he once said that one devotee of mine who is sincere, I consider more significant and important than everything within all the universes of creation. That's how the Lord personally feels toward a devotee. How we treat each other, how we honor and respect each other. Mad bhakta pujapyadika. That's very much how we will please Krishna. Our Srila Prabhupada, one time a leader made some serious mistakes, and another leader started criticizing him and spreading it around publicly. Srila Prabhupada was more upset with the person who was staunchly following, who spread it around, than he was the person who made the serious mistake. He said, "Now you have broken his heart and he won't be able to come back." When that person finally did come back, Prabhupada embraced him with tears. So yes, each of us individually must take responsibility. Responsibility to do the right thing, to live properly. according to devotional principles. But one of the actions which are so central to devotion is how we treat each other. How we treat each other is very much how the Lord and the Guru are going to accept our devotional service. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna's more hungry and is more satisfied to eat through the mouths of his devotees than he is in offering ghee into the sacred fire, which is not different than Vishnu. We offer wonderful bhoga to the deities, and Krishna accepts the love and devotion that goes into that bhoga. But he's even more satisfied when we take that prasad and satisfy his devotees with it. Krishna eats through the mouth of the Vaishnavas and is hungry to eat through the mouths of the Vaishnavas. Yesterday, Gauranga Prabhu was talking about the whole progressive chronology of improving the kitchen standards here at our temple. He was very polite the way he did it. At one point, they actually told me that they were purposely making the prasad not nice. Not the Mahaprasad for the deities, but the devotee prasad. Of course, that goes to the deities too, but it's just a part of it. The reason was because the nicer it was, the more devotees eat. The more devotees eat, the more expensive it is to buy all the bhoga. So if they don't make it so nice, they won't eat so much, and that keeps the budget down. What they were doing downstairs, believe it or not. It's what I was told. I never knew that. When they told me that, I was asking, why the prasad's not so good? They said, oh, you don't know. So devotees don't like the prasad that good. And they were, that's our success. Keeping the budget down. But if we're not serving nice prasad to the devotees, whatever we offer to Krishna, if we're not satisfying his devotees, he's not happy. Now, devotees eat individually. When we see Krishna eating nice food, then we're happy with that. We don't need anything else. That's the way I should think. But that's not the way I should make you think. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and there was hundreds of preparations that Sarvabhauma and his wife, Satimata, made. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, I am just so pleased that so much nice food has been made for the Lord. He said the same thing at the house of Advaita Prabhu. He said, now you just give me some little bit of rice and some boiled vegetable. I'll be happy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, you should try everything the Lord had. He said, no, I'm sannyasi. I will just have little. I'm completely happy to see what Krishna's eating. I don't need anything else. That's my satisfaction. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, we know who you are. you're eating 56 offerings a day in Jagannath's temple, and each offering has enough for thousands of people. And in Dwarka, you're eating in 16,108 palaces simultaneously every day. And in Vrindavan, in every house of every Brijavasi, you're eating their foods. So much. And after that, you go and steal more. So this is only a small of a little, just a very small token offering we've made for you. So we understand this principle. When we see the deity is dressed nicely, we're happy. Whether we dress ourselves beautiful or not, that's the second thing. But we're happy. We don't need to dress nicely to be happy. If we do it for some special reason, then that's all right. But our happiness is in seeing Krishna dressed nicely. Just like we're not thinking, the ladies, I hope, that I want to dress just like Radharani's too. If you're thinking that way, it's none of my business, but that's not this. That's not how we're taught. We're happy that Radharani has that dress today. But Krishna's happy, most happy, when we please his devotees. And when we serve nice Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he was thinking like this, just give me little steamed rice, I'm happy. When it came to feeding his devotees, except for Raghunath Das Goswami, because he was extraordinary, that the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would arrange feasts for his devotees, and he would personally serve with his hands. But there was a problem. He wanted to satisfy his devotees so much that his hand would hold no less than what five people could eat. Swarup Damodar Goswami and others, they said, my Lord, you know, no one will take anything until you eat, so you sit and we'll serve. And Lord Chaitanya would be directing the servers. He's the super soul in everyone's heart. He knows what everyone likes. The servers would be serving, and he would say, Swarup Damodar Goswami, give him Malpura. He wants Malpura. Give him Sak Sabji. Give him Shukta. In this way, he would be directing, eat more, eat more. He was so concerned that his devotees were happy. We are very happy to see Lord Jagannath enjoying nicely Lord Radha Gopinath. But we have to also understand that they are very happy when they see the devotees. They are hungry to accept our love through their devotees. And this was a special lesson of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in what real devotion is about. Thank you very much. Would each of you like to speak for about 3-4 minutes? Just a little message. We can't go too much longer. Udayananda Prabhu, Nrsingananda Prabhu, and Chandrasekhar Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nivasesa Sunyavade Pasacha Destar. So coming to Chaupati is always like going to the spiritual sky. And when Radhanath Swami is here, it is like going to Vrindavan. Maharaj has great mystic powers. You already knew that, though. But it is true. I have to say, our Srila Prabhupada also had those mystic powers. Srila Prabhupada would speak, and everyone in the room felt like you're speaking to them, right? And everyone was feeling so much love for Prabhupada. And one time I went to the Chicago airport. There was 400 devotees greeting Srila Prabhupada at the airport. They were so absorbed, they didn't realize that 400 devotees playing 10 murdangas and 20 pairs of carftals are deafening. You couldn't hear yourself think. I mean, the whole airport was just filled with that. And the devotees, when I came a little bit late, so they were all dancing and chanting, and they were laughing, and they were crying, and they were just absorbed in Srila Prabhupada. And every single one had a story, had this story of how Prabhupada came to the airport. So I also see here in Chaupati, Maharaj is filling all of your hearts. He's also filling our hearts too. We're so thankful to Maharaj. And it's a hard place to leave, Chaupati. You don't want to go away. You feel like, well, finally I'm home. So we're humbly imploring Maharaj that he duplicate Chaupati all over the world. Not because our desire, but this was Srila Prabhupada's desire. So I know you are all feeling very fortunate to be in Maharaj's association. And we are also feeling very fortunate to have Maharaj's association and all of your association. You know, I wrote an offering to Srila Prabhupada this past year. And in it, I was glorifying Srila Prabhupada, how Prabhupada gave us everything. He gave us book distribution. He gave us deity worship. He taught us how to eat. He taught us how to wear clothing. He taught us everything. Gave us multimedia. Gave the inspiration to Nrisinghananda to do his service. So many things Prabhupada gave us. But the greatest thing that Srila Prabhupada gave us is that he gave us devotee sangha. Because without devotees, you can't print books. You can't worship deities. You can't have a kirtan. This is all Prabhupada's gift. So Prabhupada can empower all of us to be like that. And we take great pride in saying Radhanaswami is our God brother. And that he has taken Prabhupada's mercy. So Prabhupada's mercy is there for all of us to take. So we should take inspiration. We should say, Srila Prabhupada, please, please let me become like Radhanath Maharaj. Radhanath Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande.
Well, that's a tough act to follow. I couldn't have said it any better, Udayananda Prabhu. Thank you. And I echo your sentiments. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminite Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nivishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Shatarane. When you mentioned airports, and when I was packing, generally in the past, when I've come to India, had to put in so many tripods and tapes and cameras and carried a load of various bags onto the plane. And this time I found myself not producing a documentary on this particular trip, loading only one bag. And I told my wife as I was running, getting ready, as I usually am late for the plane, I said, please throw in as many of these Srila Prabhupada DVD libraries as you can in another bag, and I'll just bring it along. I really wasn't thinking, because I forgot that when you get to India, there's a thing called customs. And I had no invoice, and had nothing but this bag coming in. I had completely neglected to prepare for it. So when I finally was coming through customs here in Mumbai, I realized, oh my God, I got this bag that's going through x-rays, because I was kind of thinking I was just going to flow through the green channel. And of course the customs agent stopped me, because it was just one bag and he was seeing all of these big DVD sets that were crammed into it. And I think at that moment I must have been inspired by Radhanath Maharaj, because he asked me, he said, so what's in the bag? I said, oh, that bag? Yes, this bag. I said, in that bag there is a treasure. These are the lectures and the videos of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, who has saved this whole world and spread Krishna consciousness from one point on the planet to the other. I said, this is the true value, and we're bringing it here to give to the devotees. It was very dramatic. Somehow I was inspired to kind of dramatize the whole thing, as Maharaj is so good at doing. And he looked at me, his eyes widening with every word, and he said, then go on. I said, thank you, Hare Krishna. I brought about 40 of these there with me, custom free, so no freight. We're selling them. Srila Prabhupada is present. When you come to this temple and you see Maharaj, any of them, you experience their expressions and the physicality of being near a advanced soul is so uniquely valuable. We can do that also when you see Srila Prabhupada in these DVDs, and I do not take credit for the footage of Srila Prabhupada. We really have to thank Yadabhar Prabhu, his wife Vishakha, Pancharatna, and others, Damodar, who really took the initiative. I had the blessing to be able to put it all together, but they were the ones that took the risk of putting this together when nobody knew how important it was. And we have the value of that. There's over 50 hours there of Srila Prabhupada that you can have the virtual Vani and Bapu together. And however long they last, they, you know, we'll give them out, sell them, really, at cost. And I also wanted to add that every day in my email, I receive a quote from Srila Prabhupada that Bhojadev puts together. And today, when I looked at it, the quote that I got was from Srila Prabhupada in 1973 in Bombay. So I thought I'd share that quote with you, because here we are in Bombay, or Mumbai. So Prabhupada said on this day, January 9th, in 1973, he said, we must be fixed up in our own rupa, svarupa. Sarupa City. Sarupa City means to be engaged in the service of the Lord. That is real mukti. It's a very profound statement. Because when we understand what is rupa, that is, of course, form. And the city, of course, is the perfection of that form. And city is acquired by practice. So when Prabhupada says, we must be fixed up on our own rupa, our form, our svarupa, which means our own, our self, our original truth, our original form, svarupa, our svarupa city, that perfect form, that city is always acquired by practice. And the practice is the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyadvari Paskacha Deshatarini. So it was the summer of 2010, this past summer, and Maharaj was pulling into New Vrindavan for the Festival of Inspiration, I believe. And I thought, I was writing letters to my rascal students on my laptop here, my clipboard. I write prisoners. And I thought there'll be so many people, there'll be a big crush to meet Maharaj. Let me just sit back for a moment, and then I'll go offer my simple respects when Maharaj enters his room. So that's what I did. But I met Radhanath Maharaj in the hallway. And he looked me in the eyes and he said, let me tell you the last time I saw you. And I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be embarrassing because I'm going to have to tell Maharaj, I don't even know if we've had each other's association that much. Maharaj, you're thinking of somebody else. Maharaj said it was Pittsburgh. Yes. You were before Srila Prabhupada. You were on stage performing your drama. And I got goosebumps. That was 38 years ago in 1972. And as soon as he looked me in the eyes, he said, let me tell you where I last saw you. How many people does he meet every month? And so we embraced. And I hope that I have Maharaj's friendship eternally. He said to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, Ahong Tong Pranami, I love you. And we sitting here have that same sentiment as his godbrothers. What I am looking at right now is the biggest flower bouquet I've ever seen. Maharaj has cultivated you. And he's offering you the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. It's an honor to have a godbrother like Radhanath Maharaj. My sentiments were the same as Mr. Jerry Slavin. I feel like the most fortunate man in the world. And I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
This morning. Thank you very much. Now we will perform Sankirtan.